Morning, brothers and sisters. Shall we turn to the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 2? New Testament, Hebrews chapter 2. And we read one verse from, in the first verse there. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 1. Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Then turn to the next page in chapter 3. We read verses 12 and 13. Chapter 3. Verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Notice in these three verses which we have read in these two chapters, there is there the word lest. In other words, be careful. In Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1 it says, lest we drift away. In chapter 3 verse 12 it says, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And then in verse 13 there's the exhortation, say, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now let's turn back to a verse in the Old Testament in Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. And verse 22. Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 22. Return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Return, you backsliding children. Here the prophet was speaking the word of God, calling for the nation of Israel to come back. Return, you backsliding children. He called them a backsliding children. And when they return, God says that he will heal their backslidings. Now the letter to the Hebrews was written to some Jews who have accepted the Lord. They have become Christians. And because they have become Christians, there were other Jews who remained faithful to the Old Testament Judaism, criticized them for being Christians, for accepting the Messiah, and they, because of that, these new Jewish Christians started to waver in their faith, and they started to think, well, are we right in accepting this so-called Jesus, the Messiah? They knew, they heard the gospel, they accepted it, and now they were under pressure from other Jews who have not accepted the Messiah, that they have been doing something wrong. And so the letter to the Hebrews was written to these Judean Christians to comfort them, to encourage them. And in this book you see the words like holding fast, going on to perfection, things like that, to encourage these Jews who have accepted the Lord as their Savior. And so the writer of this letter in these three verses which we have just read gave a warning. There are quite a few warnings in the letter to Hebrews, but in this two chapters there are three sort of warnings here to say, be careful lest you do this. Be careful lest this evil heart in you will do something to destroy your faith. be careful and exhort with one another, lest you depart from the living God, and so on and so forth. So the situation of these Christians in those days were rather, let's say, under pressure, because they're not sure whether they should go on like this. And the warning which the author of the letter to Hebrew gave was all warnings against them going back from their faith. And the Bible uses the word backsliding. And we read in the prophecy of Jeremiah, God calling this nation of the Israelites to return, used backsliding people. People who have drifted away from God. I want to share with you this morning about God's children backsliding, getting in a situation where they are drifting away. And I think before we talk about backsliding, at least we want to find out, what does it mean by backsliding? If you don't know what backsliding is, then it's futile for us to talk about it, isn't it? Now verse 2 gives us a hint here. Chapter 2 verse 1 gives us a hint here. It says, lest we drift away. Backsliding, if you think about the word itself, it is you were here and you're sliding back. You should be going forward, but you're going backwards. Drifting away is a word which is in chapter 2 verse 1. And also in chapter 3 we have these warnings here. You depart from... warning that you be careful that you do not depart from the living God. As children of God, we should be all the way with the living God, because we belong to Him. He is in us. But there's this danger of departing, meaning you were here, you have left where you were, drifting away. And all these words, drifting away, departing, backsliding, give us this idea that there is a reference point somewhere, and Christians have deviated, left that reference point. If this is a reference point, you are no longer here, you have left it, departed from it. You know, many of you know that I like swimming, and there's one occurrence which I have never forgotten in my whole life, and which gives me conviction that we must be very careful when we are in the water. When I was a teenager, I used to go to a stretch of beach in the New Territories to go swimming, and on one occasion I had one of these little sampans, these little rowing boats, and I rowed out to about 300-400 yards from the beach, and I knew it was a very famous stretch of beach where there's a very strong current in the New Territories, where the water tends to flow very rapidly towards the south of the harbour. And I was there with rolling out, and the sun was so nice, and so I dozed off and slept there for about, I think at the most, about 5 minutes. And when I woke up, I find that I am at least half a mile, even almost a mile away from that beach, way out to sea. And the current was so strong that I tried to row myself back. For almost an hour I did not move from that spot. The current was drifting me this way, and I was trying to come back this way, and I was stationary there for almost an hour and a half. And in the end, a junk passed by, I yelled for help, and he towed me back to the beach. Now that's drifting away. You don't know that you are moving from your spot until you're too late. And that's drifting. You don't do anything. It's as if you don't do anything. The current underneath you will sort of take you away from where you are. And that is a picture of God's people drifting away from God. And we know that as children of God, we belong to Him. We have His life in us, and we walk where He walks, and we love Him and He loved us, and there's a very intimate relationship with our God. He is in us in every way. He should be in every way, all in all for us. He is everything for us. He is the center from which all our activities, all our thoughts should flow out from. And that should be the proper condition for us. However, unfortunately for many of God's children, this is not the case. This is the ideal situation, but often we are very far off from this ideal situation. We find that among God's children, backsliding, drifting away is a very common thing. I'm sure if we ask ourselves honestly, we must have in the past, since we have accepted the Lord, at one time or other, for long periods or for short periods, been drifting away from God. I think even now, if we ask ourselves, some of us may be drifting away from God. So it's a process which is very subtle. It begins from our thoughts drifting away from God, and then eventually it becomes a drifting away in action. The things that we do, the things that we say. So it is a drifting away from thoughts of the mind to being manifested by drifting away in action. I think no professing Christians would all of a sudden overnight drift away, left the mark, so to speak. It is a gradual process, and it is the danger of it that is important for us to note. When we realize that we have drifted away from God, it is also already the end result of a series of things. You know, you see sometimes a huge big tree blown down by the wind. That doesn't happen overnight. It's not a healthy, strong tree anchored by the roots to the ground, safe, solidly, will not be blown down easily. But when a tree is blown down, it is the end result of maybe a series of things that has happened to that tree. Maybe insects have infected it, maybe the roots have died, maybe other things. And when the wind comes, you see the final result, the tree is down. So is backsliding, you know. When we see a person, a Christian brother or sister, drifting away from God, when we notice that, it is already the manifestation of something that's been brewing within that person for a long time, from the mind to the action. I think it's useful for us sometimes to think about this, the progress of this backsliding. How did it start, and how it journeys through until the end, when we see someone actually falling away, drifting away from God. You know, when God prospers us in our school, in our studies, in our jobs, in our family, in our business, and so, or when He when we've been ill, He takes away our illness. When we have been sad, He takes away our sorrows. This is the time when we have to be very careful, when this backsliding process begins. Almost imperceptible. You don't notice it. It is when we are in a very solid, healthy, spiritual situation, that this imperceptible backsliding process begins. We don't notice it. I think we will be very sad and grieved if we notice it, if we know that. But gradually it starts and our hearts begin to get cold. Our relationship with the Lord, the love of our Lord is getting dimmer and dimmer. The love that was once burning in us for the Lord when we first accepted the Lord has gradually grown dim. We see that it is not what it used to be. And that kind of spirit gradually will begin to show in us. It will gradually manifest it in us. We are less attracted to the things of God. We are gradually more fondly attracted to worldly things. You know, sometimes I tell myself, you know, to have wealth, to have success, to have fame, to have power, all these are good. There's nothing wrong with having these, but to have these things controlling us, for them to have us, that is something that we need to worry about. There's nothing wrong for us to have them, but for them to have us, then it is something that we need to be very careful about. We must not have these worldly things come in and control our life, because that affects our relationship with the Lord. And that somehow starts the imperceptible process of sliding away, drifting away from God. All these things, if we are controlled by them, can cause us a lot of, I shall not say disasters, but a lot of factors that will affect our spiritual health. Because the worst part about it is that these things grow in us. You know, we love these things a bit more, we love the Lord a bit less. And then from loving the Lord all the way, wholeheartedly, we take in something that share the love of our Lord. These worldly things gradually, maybe 5%, 2% in us, and over time it grows to 10%, 20%, and our love for the Lord grows less and less. And the more we enjoy these things, the less we will spend time with the Lord. And that is a crucial thing. You know, the more we spend time with these worldly things, our attention is set on these things, then we gradually spend less time on things like praying, like searching the scriptures for God's word. And when we come to meetings, the singing seems to be less lively to us. We sing our hymns with a monotone. You know, we used to sing very lively when we first accepted the Lord, right? And then gradually find that singing is not as lively as before. We come to meetings, we find that it is boring. The fellowship with brothers and sisters, it is boring. These brothers and sisters were boring. That is something that gradually creeps into our lives when we backslide. And let me give you an example, maybe you will know. You know, sometimes we say, oh, I don't like this food. Sometimes say, I like this food. What is the difference? Maybe it's the same cook. So it's not the fault of the cook, it is your fault. It's something to do with you. When you are already filled, when you are not hungry, even though you have very nice food placed before you, you don't have an appetite for it because you are full. But when you are hungry, then even the food is not so good, you grab for it. So it's the same thing. When your relationship with the Lord is good, when you are with the Lord, anything that has to do with the Lord, your singing, your fellowship with him, your prayers, your coming to a meeting or listening to messages, everything seems to be so good to you. But when you are not hungry, when you have no appetite for God, when you have drifted away and the worldly things have filled your mind and heart, then these things will not be of any attraction to you. The messages are the same, the praying is the same, the fellowship is the same, everything is the same, but it is you who have changed because you have drifted away. You know Solomon, a man who has all the wisdom of the world. God blessed him. And you know, in the old days when he wrote the Proverbs, what did he say? He said, a satisfied soul loathes a honeycomb. Even there's a honeycomb, honey there, he loathes it. He doesn't need it because he is a satisfied person. But to a hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. To a satisfied soul, a honeycomb is nothing. But to a hungry, to a satisfied soul, honeycomb is nothing. But to a hungry soul, even every bitter thing, even if it's bitter, it seems to be sweet to the taste. Because he has a need for it, he yearns for it. So is our relationship with the Lord. You know, if we, our heart is stuffed with all the things of the world, then obviously our Lord gets pushed out. And we have no appetite for things as the love for the world grows. And so by and by, things of God get pushed to one corner. And so the backslider begins to drop off, coming to the house of God, coming to meetings, sharing, fellowshipping with brothers and sisters, and his spiritual condition will gradually decline. First a little bit here, then a little bit there, and then eventually he's completely drifted away. And this backsliding has come a full circle to this person. That is, see how subtle the progress of backsliding is, of drifting away. You may say today that no, I won't drift away, I will stick close to the Lord. But you don't know how much influence you have, how much influence the world things have on you. And you start to look at it a little bit, you get more fawny with more, you like it more and more, and gradually, even without you noticing, you have left that point where you said you love the Lord. What? That first love when you accepted the Lord. So that is the description, a very general rough description of what a backslider is and how that process goes on in us. And we have to be very careful. You know, some of these are acts are outward, some of these are in the mind. And some of these other people can see in you, but there are others in your mind which nobody would notice. There are certain things which we can notice. When you find that you are a bit lax in your prayer time, and that your prayers are not so earnest as it was before, well, be careful. It may be that you are drifting away. Reading the Word of God, well, you don't find the Word of God so interesting, no longer sounds so sweet to you. Watch out, maybe you are drifting away. When we come to meetings, I think, I always think of it in terms of the Lord's table. When we come to the Lord's table, we come to remember Him. Our hearts should be fervent because at that time we are concentrating ourselves to remember what the Lord did for us. And our heart should be burning with love for Him because we know He loved us. But if you come to the Lord's table, you still participate in the Lord's table week by week, and every time there's a Lord's table, you are there, but you don't see the beauty of the Lord there. Your heart is not really there. You're just sitting there. Well, think about it. Maybe you're drifting away from that love, from that first love. You know, things like this will show itself, and by implication, you know what your spiritual state is. In serving your Lord, it's the same thing. Yes, you still serve the Lord. You still teach Sunday school. You still do this and do that. But is your heart really there? Do you still have that fervent heart to do something to serve the Lord faithfully? And do it with all your heart, with all your power, with all your might, and love Him? Or you are just doing it because you have been assigned to do it. It is a chore to you, and you hardly enjoy it at all. Some of the things are very simple. You might say, all right, you've been asked to give a message, there's something, therefore I will spend time with. What about coming on Sunday to Asha? Simple thing. You don't have to prepare, you just have to present yourself 15 minutes or so before the meeting. But is your heart there? You think that is, you just do that for, you know, do it for doing sake, or you think you are really serving the Lord. Whether our heart is there, if not, then think maybe you are gradually slipping away. And so the book of Hebrews in chapter 6, the writer encourages us and warns us, you have to leave the beginnings and go on to perfection. Because otherwise you will see that your Christian health is being stunted. Before, maybe in the beginning when you first accept the Lord, you're on the road as a runner towards heaven. You know, you're going on steadily. But now you find that you're no longer a runner there. You're sort of you're still on the road, but you are just like a loiterer, you know, wandering around, taking your time, instead of running towards that goal, which Paul says, tells us that you have to press forward towards that goal. No, we're not. If that happens, you have to be careful and think about it, whether you are really drifting away from the Lord. So just to summarize it, when does backsliding happen? It happens when the trust of our heart is turning away from God into something else. Whenever our trust in God, our heart in trusting Him, starts to turn away from Him into other things, then that is when your backsliding will happen. And how does it happen? What is the manner in that this backsliding takes place? Well, we read chapter 3, verse 12. It says, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. That evil, this manner of this backsliding is the growth of the evil heart of unbelief in God, in the living God. You are to trust in Him. And when your trust from Him starts to wane and wither, that is how your backsliding will take place. An evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. We have failed the Lord in many aspects, and therefore we need to reconnect with Him. And that is not all, there is even more. You know, the backslider obviously has no strength for service and has nothing to offer to the Lord or to other Christians, but he becomes a burden to other Christians, because other brothers and sisters will come to help him, to take care of him, to keep him up, to watch for him. He becomes a burden to others, and it may, in the worst scenario, affect other brothers and sisters as well. You know, backsliding is contagious. I don't come to a meeting. Yes, I have my love of the Lord has waned a little, that has a contagious effect on other brothers and sisters. And that is a very dangerous scenario in the house of God. A brother or sister drifting away can easily affect other brothers and sisters. And that is even more crucial. A backslider, therefore, you may conclude that he lives a struggling life. You know, he wants to love the Lord, but he can't. He is unhappy because it seems that all the things that he has believed and accepted has been drifting away from him, and his life is unfruitful. So he cannot be a happy person. And what he believes in will give him anxiety. He knew what the Bible, what the Word of God tells him. He knew what he should, how he should live like. And yet he is struggling, he could not do that. He's being drawn away further and further from the Lord. Yes, he will never perish because it is God's guarantee that once we accept the Lord, his belongs to him forever. But he will be saved, as Paul writes to the Corinthians, he will be saved as though by fire. There's nothing left of him, just the bare bones. Let's think about a Christian like that, how tragic it can be. Saved yet as through fire. It is a very sort of defiling situation. It is contagious, because he is dragging along with him other brothers and sisters. I mean, throughout, if you read the Bible, throughout the history of mankind, even the most, the best saints have backslidden. We think of many examples. Think of David. You know the sin he committed, how he backslidden. He was supposed to be in the front fighting with his soldiers, and he was lying in his palace until late afternoon, and then he sinned. How a person like David, a person of God's heart, could have slid back to this situation and sin. Think about Solomon. Solomon, he's God loved him, he loved God. He wrote all those beautiful verses in the Proverbs, in the Song of Solomon, and so on. And yet in his old age, he has slipped back. He married, he had concubines, and not, and even more concubines who were not Israelites, directly against the teaching of the Lord. See, David, Solomon, Saul is the same thing. How God chose him, how he was, his heart was towards God in the beginning, and God blessed him, and then how he drifted away and sinned. And then coming to the New Testament, we have the same thing. Paul wrote to the Galatians and said, "Oh fool, you fools, how could you have done this when you have just accepted the Lord?" It's a warning to all of us that, you know, by the examples of these people recorded in the Bible, we know that we are not exempt from backsliding. And so we need to be very careful about this. The churches in Asia Minor, in the book of Revelations, how God warned against these people that they have fallen away. They have drifted away slowly, unnoticeable, until at one stage there is this something coming up, and then it shows that this church has actually fallen away from God's ideals. So this is backsliding, and we need to ask our question then: can we prevent this from happening? Can we prevent ourselves from backsliding? I think all of you will say, of course, theoretically we can do that. But practically, very often we can't. We should, but we cannot. We can because the life of Christ is in us. We cannot because we have this old natural life in us, and constantly in our life, these two lives in us are competing with each other, in conflict with each other. Our old natural life is so active that it is constantly going against that life of Christ which is in us. And Jesus himself told it, Peter, John and James, he said, well, even though your spirit is willing, your flesh is weak. That is our situation. Even though we are willing in the spirit, yet our flesh, our the natural life is weak, is competing against it, that our flesh becomes weak. There are many things in this world that can attract us and gain our attention, our families, our business, our studies, our careers, our hobbies, our pastimes, how we use our leisure time. All these compete for our attention. And by that, our Lord is gradually squeezed out. So that is why we ought to be able to prevent backsliding from happening, but we, in practice, very often cannot. And backsliding is like some kind of an incurable disease. It goes on in us, it grows, and by the time we think we ought to do something about it, we are completely incapable. Because when backsliding starts, it will not stop. You try to I think of some of my experience when some of you go skiing, right? You go down a slope, you start very slowly, and you say, yeah, I can stop when I want. And then, before you know it, you're going down in a faster speed. And then you think, well, I can still do it, I can still stop if I want. And then all of a sudden, you pass the point, you think, oh, wow, I can't stop. And I go down faster and faster and faster until you know what happens. This is the same thing with backsliding. You see, we could have prevented it. When we start, it was so slow, we know we can stop. But then by the time we decide we want to stop, it's already past that point where we can do it ourselves. That is the situation. Yes, we can prevent, but very often when we know we need to stop and go back to the Lord, we are already beyond the point of able to do it ourselves. You drop a stone from a tall building, it accelerates, it goes down. Nothing can stop it. You can't stop it in the mid-air against the force of gravity. So it is with us. So when a person starts to backslide and he does not stop it in the beginning, it will go on until the time when he finds that he cannot stop, unless the hand of the Lord comes in and picks him up. So, can we prevent this from happening? In practice, it is very difficult. And that is why in chapter 2, verse 1, the author says that you must take more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. Pay more attention to what we know, lest we drift away, lest we go away from God. That is the call, to take more earnest heed. We need to be more and more careful. So we come to the conclusion maybe that we have backslidden and we are incapable to help ourselves to get back onto the right way. So is there any solution? We know we are backsliding. We know somehow by ourselves we cannot stop it from happening. It is natural because we have that old life in us still working in some ways. But we praise the Lord, thank Him, because there is indeed a solution. You know, you go back to the history of the Israelites. When Hosea was prophesying, the whole nation of Israel has gone away, drifted away from God. There's no chance, there's no hope in human terms that they could go back to God. But in those difficult times, those lowest times of lowest point of the Israelites, God raised up Hosea, God raised up Jeremiah, and God's cry was, I will heal your backsliding. In Hosea chapter 14, God said, I will heal your backsliding. And in Jeremiah, we just read the same thing, return, I will heal your backsliding. So God is able and God is willing to take us back to the point where we should be. I will heal your backsliding. That is what God said thousands of years ago, and that is what God is saying to us today. If we find we have left the mark, if we find that we have drifted away from God, God is still calling, I will heal you if you come back to me. Is it the precondition in Jeremiah, which is return and I will heal you? You have to return. Let's come back to Him. You know, the Lord loved us so much that He will never leave us. He said that He, having loved His own, He will love them to the end. And in Romans, Paul also says about God's love, the gifts and the calling of God is irrecoverable. He cannot turn back on what God has promised to us. So if He promised that He will keep us, He will do so. If we have drifted away, if we just come back to Him, return to Him, repent, He will take us back to the point where our first love is. This is what God's promise. So let's be very clear about this. Backsliding is just a sin like another sin. And in order for God to take us back, to recover us, we must repent. And it involves, in this thing, it involves two things. It involves the forgiveness of sin and also the power of release from sin. And God Himself alone can do it. All right. We have drifted away, in other words, we have sinned against God. And God has to forgive us, and He will only forgive us when we repent. So God's method of taking us back is for us first to repent and God for Him to pardon us. And with His power, the second thing is He will release us from the power of sin. We have been living under the control of sin by our own natural life. It has overtaken that new life in us. But the removal of all the bad effects of sin must come from God. Because sin hides Christ from us. So we have to be released from that power. And it will grieve the Holy Spirit and causes the Holy Spirit to withdraw from us if we are still living under sin. And so when God says that He will heal us from backsliding, He means He will take away from us all the pollution, all the bad effects which backsliding has caused, and all the injury that it has done to our moral and to our spiritual natures. That is what God can do. So we rejoice, because even though we have sunk so low, we have left God and gone so far away, we know that God can take us back only if we repent. You know, the prodigal son, if he did not know deep in his heart that his father will always take him back, he will never have turned himself around and go towards his house. He knew he was so bad. He was so evil. He had sinned so much. And deep in his heart he knew there's only one solution, his Father. Go back to him and repent. And so today, for backsliders, for people who have, Christians have drifted away, there's always that assurance of hope that when we repent, God will respond and say, I will heal him. I will heal these backsliders. I will heal these people who have drifted away. The important thing is to realize that this will not happen until we do our part, until we repent and go back to him. The moment we fully confess that we have wandered away from him, that we are prepared to forsake the idols, the worldly idols that we have cherished, God is going to start working in us. He will heal us, he will bring us back, he will comfort us, and he will let us come back and experience that love he has for us. You remember David's sin? I just mentioned David's sin. He repented, he went back to God and said, I have sinned only against you. For all these things I've done, the ultimate thing is that I've sinned against you. When he repented that, God gave him back, God consoled him, and he was able to go on. He was restored to the joy of his salvation with God. And that's what he wrote in the Psalms. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. So there is always hope for us. There's always hope for people who have drifted away. God is able and God is willing to do that for us. Once you remove the cause of sin, the effect will flow. But then, and only then, will God move in and revive you and recover you. So may the Lord really help those who have drifted away. And that the Lord will help him to break that sin of backsliding. Mind you, that recovery process may be gradual, just as the backsliding has been gradual, or it may be sudden. It may be that something happened to you and you woke up, you repent, and God revive and recover you straight away. But most likely it is gradual. You have to be patient, you have to be consistent and stay close to the Lord, and he will take care of it. But whatever it is, we know that the backslider began, how he began, that he, maybe that the first sign of him is that he becomes slack in his prayers, in his fellowship with the Lord. And so the recovery will always, I think, start with coming back to God and praying to him and having fellowship with him again. You will notice that when your recovery process begins, you will find that you enjoy praying more, more supplication. How you start to fall away by a lax in prayer, you will find that in the beginning of recovery, you will have renewed supplication again. That's how you sort of size things up. You know you have repented. All of a sudden, your fellowship with God is reconnected. Your prayers will become more fervent, and you enjoy having that kind of fellowship with God again. So, brothers and sisters, let us set our face towards God, because as he had done before, he was calling to Israel, O Israel, return, and I will heal you. Today he is calling to us in the same way. Return to him. He is calling all people, all Christians who have drifted away today, the same words. Return to me, and I will heal you. Return to God by a simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, remembering Him that there is mercy. It is where the fatherless will find love, will find mercy, and in that confidence we'll gradually begin to find once again the abundance of God's grace, and we'll return to Him and live according to what pleases Him. So let us all encourage ourselves. Let us encourage ourselves to get closer to Christ day by day. Let us not decline from our first love again, but rather to forget those things which lies behind and press on to that goal which is waiting for us. As Paul says in the letter of Philippians, he said he does not think that he has attained everything, but he forgets the things of the past and move on and press forward for that calling which is in front of him. So let us not be discouraged. We know that we may be in various stages of backsliding, drifting away from God, and we have been told how subtle that process is, but ultimately we thank the Lord there is a solution to that. Go back to God, repent. God is waiting and willing for each and every one of us to go back to Him, and He will take us back. He will recover us. He will bring us back to a point when we first accepted Him and have recover that first love for our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our dear Lord, we know that how far we have drifted away from You at times. And Lord, we do not know what stage we are in, but we know that we have lost that simple faith, that first love which we have for You when we first accepted You. So Lord, we pray that You have mercy upon us, Lord. Speak to us again and remind us of our situation, and give us that assurance that You are still waiting for us, patiently, lovingly, for us to come back to You. And that, Lord, by that You will start to recover us, that You may bring us back to a stage where we live a life which is so fruitful, so pleasing to You, that it will be a good testimony and witness for the rest of the world who needs You and who surely need to repent in order that they also may have Your life in them. So Lord, we ask that You will indeed help us and that You will have mercy upon us. In Your most precious name we pray. Amen.